The Public News Service Daily Newscast, December the 16th, 2022. I'm Mike Cohen. From coast to coast, the U.S. has a housing shortage. But if you're moving to rural Oklahoma and want to build, there is now a database to help find available land. More from Ross Brown for Soundbite Services.
The new tool features a wealth of information, including available utilities and cost of the land. Shantaria Charleston with the National Nonprofit Housing Assistance Council says a database creates a marketable pool of lots from which potential buyers and builders can choose.
Lots of times people don't even know who owns land. And so if there is any kind of contention over the property, having this information would be really helpful.
The new program is a collaborative effort between the Oklahoma Municipal League and the Oklahoma Home Builders Association. Charleston says her only concern is that some communities may still lack broadband internet access to the information.
The Oklahoma Municipal League says it will maintain the database and assist local governments with inquiries concerning abandoned and dilapidated properties. The midterm elections are in the rearview mirror, but some North Dakotans are looking ahead to the session as they monitor possible changes to voting policy.
Prior to recent election cycles, races for school board seats were often deemed non-political and without much tension. But special interest groups pushing for book bans and against certain race-related teachings have altered the landscape in many states. Mary Tintis of the League of Women Voters in North Dakota says it wasn't as pronounced in North Dakota, but her group wants to avoid it becoming a bigger problem.
The focus should be on what's best for the education of the kids in that district and not some sort of political agenda.
School board candidates in North Dakota aren't required to file campaign finance reports. The league wants to see legislation to change that, arguing voters should know which groups are backing these candidates. Organizations that align with candidates who have controversial views often cite parental rights and voice concerns about some types of curricula as indoctrinating students. I'm Mike Moen.
In North Dakota's last session, a plan to reduce the number of early voting days failed. Backers of that plan cited the need to restore election integrity as false claims mounted around the 2020 election. And CNBC reports that stocks fell sharply Thursday after new data showed retail sales declined more than expected in November, raising fears that the Federal Reserve's interest rate hikes are tipping the economy into a recession. The Dow Jones Industrial Average fell 764 points in its worst days in September. This is PNS. A recent report shows the number of uninsured kids in South Carolina is on the decline. The Georgetown University Center for Children and Families report finds the state's rate of uninsured children is down 5.3% for 2021. Dr. Deborah Greenhouse is a fellow of the American Academy of Pediatrics.
Young people across the country are enduring crisis after crisis, and we need to ensure that they can access timely, comprehensive health care now more than ever. We're continuing to witness an alarming surge of pediatric respiratory illness, including RSV and flu.
Dr. Greenhouse hopes children and families can continue to rely on the coverage that they need. And with a wave of unionization sweeping across America, the agency that oversees labor relations is struggling to keep up.
The National Labor Relations Board is funded by Congress, and its budget is unchanged since fiscal year 2014. Over time, inflation has eaten into that figure to the point that now the agency is effectively operating with a 25% lower budget than 9 years ago. This is in contrast with a growing caseload the agency is addressing thanks to increasing unionization. Sarah Steffens with the Communications Workers of America says without additional funding, the agency may have to cut staff.
The agency is seeing a lot of work responding to these election petitions and to employer misbehavior. And at the same time, they're contemplating the need to potentially do a furlough of their employees.
The NLRB warned Congress in a letter in November that the current funding level is impairing their ability to maintain staff capacity at their headquarters and 48 field offices across the nation. Brett Pivato reporting.
Finally, Edwin J. Vieira tells us a bill before the New York State Legislature would remove the National Rifle Association's ability to certify gun safety instructors.
Under Senate Bill 9601, New York State's Department of Criminal Justice Services would develop a curriculum for gun safety training. The legislation comes several months after the Supreme Court struck down the state's concealed carry laws, which required that a person show proper cause to want to carry a gun. State Senator Sean Ryan, who introduced the bill, says it was brought forward because of the NRA's support for that lawsuit. He describes what he hopes the training would cover.
I would hope if the Department of Criminal Justice Services makes up their curriculum, that they will then train New Yorkers about how to safely store their guns, the responsibility of a gun owner vis-a-vis children in the house, but also to go over places where guns are and are not allowed in New York State.
This is Mike Clifford, and thank you for wrapping up your week with Public News Service, member and listener supported. Here's a great radio station's your favorite podcast platform. Find your trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.